Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to today's celebration. Please open your Catholic Channel hymnals to Sirius XM 129. That's Sirius XM 129.
It's the Catholic Guy Show on the road. This week, Lino broadcasts with our neighbors in the north, Canada, where he'll be making new friends along the way.
Just look at all these fine Canadians.
Now, here's Lino Rulli.
Hello, Catholics, and everyone else. Welcome to your home for pure Catholic pleasure. It's the Catholic Guy Show, coming to you from our neighbors in the north, unless, of course, you're in Canada, then coming to you from you, lovely Toronto, CatholicGuy.com, where you find me on the Facebook and the Twitter. You know, one of the things that I love about the show being on the road is you never know where I'm going to be. You never know who's going to be able to be on the show. And part of the fun of this experiment that's now been nearly 2 years in the making is that I get to introduce you to people I like. And if you're like, boo, they suck, then I don't tell them. And I move on to another city and pretend that it was all a great success. Sebastian Gomes is a guy I look forward to introduce you to here as my co-host today. He works for Salt and Light TV. That's Canada's Catholic television broadcasting. And saltandlighttv.org. He's a host. He's a journalist. He's a correspondent.
But I'm in everything.
He is everything to all. He's
everything to all people.
Yeah, he's St. Paul in the flesh. St. Paul in the Bible said, I've become all things to all people. We have waited 2,000 years for somebody to return like him. Sometimes people thought Jesus was a bit like Elijah. Sebastian is very much like St. Paul. Now, here's the other just bizarre thing about you.
What's that?
Isn't that a nice...
Thank you. Please tell me. I'm looking forward to this.
Nice way to introduce you. I went to college in Minnesota, a small liberal arts university called St. John's University. From there, I went and got a master's degree in theology. And, the combination is not one you would wish upon your worst enemy. And then you try to get a job. And I ended up getting a job in Catholic media. And you, buddy, do you remember where we first met? This sounds like that's a weird thing to say to a man on the air.
Okay, we had time out here. Time out there. What's the are we going to talk about the Minnesota connection, or are you going to get there later?
I'm going to get there later.
Okay.
Do you remember
the first time we met?
Was where?
In St. Peter's Square in Vatican City.
That's right.
Right by the obelisk.
Right by the obelisk by which 2000...
The iconic obelisk. That thing's incredible.
The thing, 2,000 years ago, St. Peter would have been crucified near it, and now it sits right in the middle of St. Peter's Square. And... you and I met through our friend, Father Tom Rosica, who was my co-host yesterday, and will be back on the show today, and will be on the show tomorrow as well. And we were all just chatting. I know Father Tom, and we were just chatting.
Well, let's remember here. Like, I think we ran into you, and you were deep in prayer, I think. I think you had a rosary in your... You might have had two rosaries in your hand at that moment.
That's right. I had one
in
my
foot. You
were
praying deeply about the show that you had done that day.
That's right.
And it had been a disaster. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I had a rosary in my left hand, a rosary in my right hand, rosary on my right foot. I kept my left foot open to the Holy Spirit.
There's a lot of... There's a lot of those things in Vatican City, isn't there?
I'll tell you what I was doing, because regular listeners of the show would know that I have this weird thing. It's not the nicest way to say anything. I don't know why I would just tell everybody I have a weird thing. It seems very personal and revelatory in a way that doesn't need to be told. Where I have this thing, I have my favorite music on my playlist on my iTunes, and it's called Z Best. Go ahead.
What does that mean?
It's just because it's easier to find on my cell phone. If it was like favorite songs, that's in F, and it's above Foo Fighters, but it's after E, like Elton
right.
John.
You can skip over that easily, accidentally.
Right.
Yeah.
Z best. You just scroll all the way to the bottom,
perfect.
And there it is. And there's tremendous songs in there. Sebastian, what kind of music do you like?
I like everything, when I was growing up, I was actually a big hip hop guy.
Were you really?
Loved hip hop, and I grew up like in the middle of the country, like rural Ontario. So this was like groundbreaking. This was like Pope Francis showing up on the scene when nobody expected. Like, it was hip hop. Everybody was listening to country and like Smashing Pumpkins and whatever else was happening at that time. And I'm thinking here, what's the mid '90s?
Sure. Oh, see, now this is the problem. We're different ages. When you say hip hop, I'm thinking Public Enemy and
Right.
Beastie Boys.
Right.
But
right.
mid-90s, you're thinking.
Well, no, like really on the shoulders of them, you know? And like I remember when Wu-Tang 36 Chambers came out, and that was like my favorite album. I think that was early 90s, 92 or 93 that dropped. And it was just, it was incredible. It was incredible. And that was like the... That was the go-to. We listened to that for years. But then, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, that was when, like, hip-hop, in my opinion, was, like, really at its... But like, for the people of my generation...
How old are you?
I'm 30 now.
30 years old. Oh, yeah, yeah. People of... You guys...
So, like, the real hip-hop, like, people will be like, what are you talking about? Like, you. You're saying, it started long before that.
Of course. I'm like, no, Public Enemy. You know, even before Public Enemy. Like, Run DMC.
Right. That...
This is hip hop. It's rap.
Yeah.
All around. On time. Here we go. This is hip hop. This is rap.
Yes, it is. You're right. And I acknowledge it. And I but I was like, what year are we talking here when this dropped?
This is
late 80s?
Mid 80s.
Okay. Yeah. So I was born in 85. So I had no idea what hip hop was when I was a toddler. I was still shaking my little
rattler.
My little rattler in the crib.
Okay. It's very difficult.
Should we just have a dance party?
That's right. The Catholic guy show in Toronto turns into a dance party. Now, kids, I do this for your sake, so you understand what rap and hip hop sounds like. Run, hope, walk. Okay, you get the point. So you're this white kid in Ontario. I mean, you're a very white. What is Sebastian Gomes? What is Gomes? What is that?
Portuguese, actually.
Portuguese.
But I'm a very international family. I'm first generation Canadian. Both my parents are Canadian now. They have Canadian citizenship. But my dad was actually born in British Guyana at the time, and a lot has happened in that country since.
Yeah.
And my mom is Dutch, 100%. Born and raised, her entire family still lives over there.
Like the weed, huh?
That's,
that's right. Sorry, that's just the first thing I really think of when I think of the Dutch. I'm like, oh, that's pleasant.
Right. And they actually met in Africa. So my dad coming, back up. My dad coming from British Guyana, went to school, university in Ottawa. That's my first connection to rural Ontario, Ottawa Valley. My mom coming from Holland, they meet in Africa and then go back to Canada and get married. So a very international family, and I only have one older brother, but the two of us are first gens.
You know, now hang on, then before I get into more of the rap and everything else, before I get into how we met, and the fact is, by the way, in case you're curious, we went to the same college and graduate school.
I was wondering when you were going to come back to
just
that.
At different eras.
Yes.
That's what's wild about this story.
That I'm also a Johnny, that I did my undergraduate and graduate studies at St. John's University, Collegeville.
I mean, okay. So the fact is, you know what, now I'm going to go back to that part of the story, and I'll ask you later about being raised. So the way God has a very odd sense of humor, and Sebastian, I don't know if you think about these things or care about these things the way I do, but when we were in Rome, as I was saying, I was at St. Peter's Square, but you know what I was doing is I was listening to ZBest. So I was listening to my favorite music. Now, the first song on ZBest, although there's some great stuff in there from Foo Fighters, of course, Bruce Springsteen, Motley Crue. The first song on ZBest that I always listen to whenever I travel around the world is this. Do you recognize this?
I do.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do.
So you're familiar?
I am familiar with this song. Plain White Tees, huh?
Plain White Tees. It's very weird. It's very weird.
It is kind of weird.
So I had just started listening, and this will turn into from this to Pink Floyd to Coldplay to Bruce Springsteen to Foo Fighters. So my routine. And when I was there and I was staring up at St. Peter's Basilica, just my favorite place on earth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my favorite thing to do. I have some dinner, I have some drinks. And then I stumble around the square by myself.
It's amazing, though. It's amazing there at nighttime to just walk around that square.
And in fact, it's why I got engaged there like 2 months ago. I got engaged in St. Peter's Square at night. It's my favorite place to be.
Did you plan that? Did you take your girlfriend all the way over there to propose?
No, I was just drunk and just asked whoever the first girl was that stopped by.
Well, I don't know. Did you just happen to be there or were you working?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
This is all methodically planned out?
Yes.
And Pope Francis, does he know about this?
I've written him several times.
I mean, you were in his diocese.
I hadn't thought of it that way. Sure. My favorite place on earth is St. Peter's Basilica. Probably St. Peter's least favorite place on earth, ironically. He's like, yeah, that place brings back a lot of bad memories. I remember when they crucified me upside down on a cross there. But otherwise, it was a fine experience. It's my favorite place on earth. It's my fiance's favorite place on earth. So it made I think it should be every Catholic's. Is that too much, Sebastian? Is that too much to say? Every Catholic's favorite place on earth.
It is incredible.
Even if you've never been, it should be, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's got to be up there.
How old a guy were you? You're 30 years old. How old a guy were you the first time you went there?
2012, not too long ago.
So holy.
It's only 3 years ago.
I think that's when I met you, buddy.
Yeah, probably the first time. Yeah. Was that during the Synod in 2012?
Who knows? Weird. No offense. I don't base things on when the Vatican got together with a bunch of old guys to discuss things. It's not the way I go, oh, yes. Good question, I believe. I don't know.
I think that's what it was. That must have been 2012, because that was my first time there.
Was that 2 months after the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith released a document?
Condemning your radio show?
That's right.
I think so.
First of... So, long story short, although I think it's impossible to do that at this point, as I was there with our friend Father Tom Rosica, the CEO of Salt and Light TV, of which, Sebastian, you are one of the hosts of the documentaries and TV shows and such, and Father Tom said, oh, Lino, after we were talking for a few minutes, after he interrupted my hey there, Delilah moment, he said, I'd like you to meet Sebastian Gomes. And we were talking about Minnesota, and... I mean, our undergraduate class was very small. How many people graduate from that university?
My class, I think, was 460-something students.
Okay, so you do that times four. So you
just
got
the Johnnies, just the dudes.
The men, right. Yeah. It's an all-guys school, and then we have an all women's school down the road.
That's right.
So we got about 2,000 dudes at that college. Yeah. At that university.
Yeah.
It's a lot of men, by the way.
Give or take. Well, for what?
That's a lot of guys. I always hate people who go, oh, Lino, you went to an all-men's university. And I go, well, not really. Yes.
But not really.
Not really. There was an all-women's university.
Although now, it's changed since we were there. Now you have to stay on campus all 4 years if you're a guy. Like, did you live off campus?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Party house, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was like, you couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Living in those... wartime bunkers for the first 2 years of your
otherwise known
as free life and then
dormitories. Well, no, this is what's fascinating is the one thing that, and I hate saying this right now, but I'm old. I'm 43 years old. The one thing a lot of kids, Sebastian, you're 30, your age and younger, but especially high school, college kids, now will come up to me, you know, and want to ask me questions about the business. How do you get into broadcasting? Why did you get into Catholic media? This type of thing. And they'll often ask what the path is, and I always try to say, there is no...
You just laugh in their face?
Yeah, that's right. What else am I going to do? Thank you, Father Dave. Father Dave Dwyer laughs in their face as well. What I always say is, there's no one path to holiness.
Yeah.
In the sense that one saint's path to God, I mean, it's the same God, but... This one might be a man, and this one might be a woman, and this one might be a priest, and this one might be a married person, and this one might be a pope. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's no one path to holiness. There's no one path to broadcasting. And I've always said, and don't take my path no matter what. I mean, I went to a small liberal arts college in northern Minnesota, a place that has no connections to anything in this broadcasting world. And then I was dumb enough to go get a master's degree in theology, solidifying the fact I could never achieve success in this business.
Right.
And now, you know, I've been doing this since 1997.
Yeah.
First TV and then radio. And, you know, with the TV, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I've won a few Emmy Awards. Thank you.
Oh, good for you.
And now 9 years of having an international radio show. And I've always said, but there's no one path to get here. And Sebastian Gomes... Your most recent success was a documentary called The Francis Effect, of which you hosted and produced.
Yeah, I wrote, produced, directed, and narrated.
Oh, good for you.
I was trying to one-up you there.
I know. I hear that. I heard what you just did there. And it was about Pope Francis, but you got all these great, you do the name dropping.
Oh, gosh. Well, you got big time people in the church.
No, most people don't care about. No, don't bore me. Don't bore me with that. Give me the big names.
All right, the big people. Yeah. We had Scott Pelley.
CBS Evening News.
Yeah, he's an amazing man. Diane Sawyer from ABC. Anderson Cooper was in it.
I mean, these are big names in broadcasting for a Catholic documentary coming out of Salt and Light Television, where I'm broadcasting today's Catholic Guy show in Toronto from. Saltandlighttv.org if you want to find out. It's a great documentary, and thanks to you, Sebastian, and the folks at Salt and Light. You gave me a free copy otherwise.
I knew that you wouldn't watch it otherwise.
Hell no, I'm going to go buy it.
No. I mean, it does come with 6 hours of bonus footage.
I love the bonus footage. But how bizarre is it that you've made a successful career in this field?
Yeah. But actually, okay, let me stop you right there.
Please.
Because some couple things have happened very recently that have kind of built on this, and I'm very, very proud of it. I mean, I am really proud of this film. It was something that, like, I poured my heart and soul into, and I'm just happy with how people have responded to it, and I'll give you two examples. April 1st of this year, we flew down to New York.
By the way, it's no offense, but it's funny to be up in Canada because as an American, you never hear anybody ever say, we flew down to New York. I'm like, no, you flew up or out or east, but you didn't fly.
Oh, we flew down. We flew down.
You Canadians, always looking down on us Americans. We flew down, eh?
That's right.
All right,
so we fly down. We're at America House. Downtown Manhattan.
America Magazine, our friends, Father Jim Martin, Father Matt Malone.
Yeah, you know them all.
They have a show right here on the Catholic Channel.
That's right.
Wednesdays.
That's right. They do wonderful work, and we have, just like you guys, a great partnership with them. Anyway, you may recall that Jim Martin was the chaplain, so to speak, for the Colbert Report. Everybody remembers that show.
It's not like that long ago. It's not as if we're talking about a show like This Is Your Life from the 1950s. I mean, Colbert just ended a few months ago.
And for everybody down south, we actually got that show too. So we were privy to that experience. Thank God. And Jon Stewart, which sad to see them both, Eddie, but incredible, incredible shows. Like, and that was, you know, Canadians love American politics and American, like, that kind of political commentary and comedy and satire. It's just, we love it. We just absorb it. And I was just so happy that we were able to.
So you got to win it because of Father Jim Martin.
Okay. So yeah. So
you got to go to the Colbert show?
No.
Oh.
So we go down to America House because we arranged to do an interview with Stephen Colbert.
Unbelievable.
America's most famous Catholic. Sorry.
No, I agree. No, you're not insulting me.
I'm not insulting you?
No.
Okay, good.
Colbert is absolutely America's most famous Catholic.
Incredible. Incredible guy.
You know what? This is going to be an interesting conversation. Sebastian, I'm going to take just a moment. Or is Mark Wahlberg?
Interesting.
Mark Wahlberg, A-list.
Interesting.
Celebrity. And I like them both.
Yeah.
Wahlberg's been on this show. Colbert has snubbed this show. So I'm weighing who I like more.
Right, right. That's a very good question, though.
America's
that's a poll-worthy question.
America's most famous Catholic television personality.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean to narrow him down there, but I mean, okay. Nonetheless, please keep going.
I would think
going.
So, yeah.
Colbert.
Okay, so we arrange. I mean, that's another story about the arrangement and how it all came about. But this is the juicy part. So he agrees to do an interview with us. So we fly down there and he shows up and he walks in the room and he was shaking hands with everybody and he looks at me and he says, "Oh, hey, Sebastian." And
get
I was like,
"Get the hell out of here."
And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" When I was preparing to go down, this was like a spiritual thing for me because like he is just the best.
Yes.
He is so the best. He
yes.
just is the man.
Agreed. Amen.
And, it was just amazing that I was even going to be able to meet him. He walks in the room. He recognizes me and says, "Oh, hey, Sebastian." And I was just like, I couldn't believe it, you know?
I'm going to let you go. I know you got another story here, but hang on, okay? Sebastian Gomes has just done two things here. He's my friend. I'm happy to have him on the show. He has just promoted this documentary that Stephen Colbert himself saw and liked, clearly. So there you go again, saltandlighttv.org. Check out this documentary, The Francis Effect. And I think what he was saying is, Leno said it was good, but who the hell cares what Leno says? That's the first part. The second part is, I am such an insecure, miserable human being that even though I like you, and even though I count you as a friend, I will all but cry myself to sleep tonight that I have never had that experience.
Of meeting Colbert?
No, I've met him, but of him...
Recognizing
yes.
him?
Yes. I will forever hold this with a grudge.
I'll tell him that you'd like to meet. If you want me to put in a good word for you.
I'm just incredibly insecure. I hate this about myself. I've prayed about this. Honest to God, I said, God, take away some of these insecurities in my life. Take away. The older I get, the more jealous I get. I some of my sins I think have increased in age. I'm 43.
That can happen, huh?
I'm more jealous today about you now than I would have been 20 years ago.
It's a good thing we don't have a huge chunk of the show left then.
No, we only have an hour and 40 minutes to drudge through. No, of course, I'm very happy for you. So that's a great story. I wanted to share how insecure I am, however. I want to share an enormous flaw in my life that I'm really happy for you. And, you know, tonight after the show, we'll go out for dinner, we'll drink, we'll pretend we're friends. And then I will go home and stew about this. And then and tomorrow morning, and this poor fiance of mine, Jill, she'll get an earful. You know, I don't know what's wrong with my career. I work hard. I do all this. I do all that. Celebrities rarely contact me. They do eventually, but rarely. Anyway, so Sebastian, keep telling the story. Good job.
All right. Okay, so he walks in. He says hello. And before I can say anything, he says, look, I just want to tell you, I watched your film, and it is incredible. You did an amazing job, and it was so... And you know what he said, which actually kind of surprised me, because no one had said this before, but he said, you know, it's really... It gave me a lot of hope. It's very hopeful. And I never thought about the film in that kind of way. I mean, I was concerned from a kind of a journalistic point of view of telling the authentic story of what's happening with Pope Francis. And the movie is really a look at the first year of his pontificate, but going into the deeper issues and saying, like, what's really going on here? Like, what's really happening to the Catholic Church? What does this mean?
What is, by the way, happening in the Catholic Church? Don't say watch the documentary.
I thought you were setting me up for that.
Crystallize, summarize for us. According to Sebastian Gomes, and again, some of the journalists, whether it be Scott Pelley or Anderson Cooper or church figures that you had in this documentary.
Yeah, big-time cardinals, people who know the Pope personally. Cardinal, like a couple of your guys, Cardinal O'Malley in Boston.
By the way, I keep forgetting we're in Canada. Because when you say your guys, I'm going, who do I own? Oh, right, Americans. Cardinal Sean O'Malley out of Boston.
Cardinal Donald Wuerl out of Washington.
Sure.
Great man, good friends of ours, and people who are really, really close to the Pope. I mean, some of the stuff that they've told us, I'm like, oh, geez, like I can't believe that
like
stuff.
What? Like what? No, I'm serious. Hey, I'm not kidding around. Now he's
I'm not sure.
Of course you got to tell a story. What? You don't have to tell a salacious
story. Yeah, yeah. No, they're just very close to him. I mean, everybody
I know.
Knows
well,
that.
I want to hear a story about it. Good for them.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you one story.
Thank you.
Okay. So
keep it clean.
All right.
It's the Catholic guy show. We got to keep it clean.
So Cardinal Wuerl, Archbishop of Washington. Great, great man. He was at a meeting in November of 2013 in Rome, and the Pope came to the meeting. He was meeting for one of the curial offices that he's a part of. The Pope comes to the meeting. They attend the meeting, and afterwards the Pope says, well, come see me at my house. That's the Vatican guest house that the Pope lives in. Come see me at my house at 4:30. So Cardinal Wuerl says, okay, I've never been invited like so kind of nonchalantly to a private audience with the Pope like this, especially in a, you know, a hotel like where he lives.
Hello. Knocking at.
Do I bring anything? Like he's got like, I don't know, a cake with him or something? I don't know.
Hey, Sebastian, you know how this show goes. You know how my mind wanders. Here's a random question for you. Hold the story for
okay.
a second.
All right.
The Pope is staying at a place called the Doma Santa Marta, which is a guest house, which is a hotel technically.
Yes, it's a hotel.
That's where he lives. Does he get room service?
No.
You know.
Well, I don't know that he doesn't get room service. Like, if he wants, like, late night, like, if he wants, like, wings, like, at, like, 11 o'clock at night or something.
Look at his figure. I'm not saying he doesn't.
That's a good point.
I'm not saying the Holy Father isn't doing late night snacking. I'm just saying He's gained a little weight. Everybody's noticed.
That's true. That's
Does he
true.
Have house cop keeping stop by? Like, housekeeping, we stop by later?
I
no.
They probably have an Italian accent, though, don't they? I've maybe brought some over from okay. South America. I don't know.
Sure, sure. It's a... Oh, Santa Padre, we have to do the housekeeping. We watched the pasta and the meatballs last night very late, very, very late. You must get out of the bed. It's time to do the cleaning. I am a stereotype. I offend all Italian Americans.
Do they have, like, they got, like... Like a Bose SoundLink Mini on their cart, and they're playing this song as they roll up to
right.
the door.
That's how this is the Pope's alarm clock. Sure it is. Why wouldn't it be? Wake up, wake up, wake up, Holy Father. Wake up, wake up. Go and upset some people who you don't really care if you upset because they're kind of weird. Go and tell the world how much Jesus loves them and eat. All right, now get back to the story. Sebastian right. Gomes here on the Catholic Guy Show. Now, Cardinal Donald Wuerl, the Archbishop of New York.
Yeah.
So the Pope said, well, why don't you just stop by at 4:30 or whatever?
Yeah, so, you know, the Cardinal is comes by at 4:30, and, you know, there's someone there at, like, probably a security guard or something to greet him at the door. And he says, oh, you know, good evening, Your Eminence, and I understand that you're going to see the Holy Father, and I just ask you a favor. Could you tell the Pope that it might be better if he moves out of here and goes back up to the Apostolic Palace, where the old popes used to live, where Benedict used to live and John Paul II used to live, and all the popes before him, which is kind of like isolated. Like, you got to go through this like labyrinth of like steel doors and elevators and like go
and
up
security.
And security and like through the halls of the Vatican and like, you know, all the murals and everything, and then eventually you get to the Apostolic Palace and there's three sets of doors and you got to go through the library and the study and eventually you get to the room where the Pope lives, and it's like nobody has seen that and lived, you know. So the security guard tells the Cardinal, look, it's almost impossible for us to like do our jobs around here because like people are coming and going and he's inviting people and he's calling people and his friends are coming over and they're street people that are coming over and like people who work in different parts of Rome are stopping by to see him at his invitation. So it's just crazy. And it's like a revolving door and we can't do our jobs. And the Cardinal said, well, I mean, to be honest, you're the head of security. You're the one who should be telling him that, not me. I'm just here for a meeting. I don't know what he wants to talk to me about.
Super awkward.
Yeah. So he said, okay, this is interesting. So he walks in and, you know, it literally looks like a hotel. Like, you walk in there and there's like the lobby and the receptionist. And she says, you know, hello, welcome to the Dome of Santa Marta where the Holy Father Pope Francis lives.
Well, it doesn't, Sebastian, it doesn't sound like that.
What does it sound like?
Hello and welcome to the Domus of Santa Marta. This is where the Holy Father lives. By the way, if you could tell the Holy Father, please move back up to the Apostolic Palace. Although I must say, our rates at Kayak are going sky high. Everybody wants to stay at our hotel. We got a very negative review, though, by the TripAdvisor. There was a cardinal from Africa. He no liked this place. He wrote a very negative review.
So once you get through that level of security,
the receptionist.
The receptionist.
It's a level of security rarely seen beyond Holiday Inns. That's the level of security at that place. Yeah,
really. And people are coming and going. Like when you walk in there, like there's bishops who are walking out and other people who work at the Vatican who are coming in or people who are in town for different reasons. It's literally like, you know, the Vatican City Airport Hotel. You have people who like whose flight is delayed and they're like staying there for the night, you know?
People probably think you're kidding. Like Sebastian Gomes.
I've been there. I'm not kidding.
I know. I have as well. But it's not a joke when we say the idea behind it was John Paul II built it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not himself, like hammer and nails. That'd be an odd construction project by a vicar of Christ. Now I got to go build a new place.
It took him 27 years.
Yeah, he's very... You know what? God bless him if he could have built it on his own. He did enough on his own during his papacy without anybody helping him. But he built it in part if there was a bishop, as you say, or a lay person who had some official Vatican business, why not stay directly at the Vatican? It's easier access. The church could make a little money. And then the cardinals, next time an election would come, would have an actual secure place on Vatican property
right.
to be during a conclave. That was the idea of the whole thing.
Yep.
And by the way, Sebastian, what do you think of the food there?
I've actually never had a meal there.
Oh, okay.
Have you had a meal there?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
In the cafeteria.
I think it's overrated, I must admit.
Okay, I was going to get back to this, so this is interesting.
Okay, so
what did you have, though? What are they serving? Is it like a buffet style?
I've eaten there, well, now I'm going to sound like a real grade A jerk, but I've eaten there a bunch of times.
That's like where you stay. Like John Paul would invite you, and you'd be like, well, I guess I could make the trip.
It was not a popular place. Here's the thing. Before this, and this is where Pope Francis moved to after the conclave that elected him Pope.
Right.
He was comfortable there, in other words.
He'd already unpacked his suitcase. So right. What was he going to do? Pack it up and then.
By the way, just as a side note of that place, to tell you how well it was constructed by the finest artisans of Italy, Cardinal Dolan, I don't know if he ever told this story on the air, so I'll tell this story on my show in case he didn't. He once told me a story. Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop in New York, said one of the nights of the conclave, when they were electing the Pope, and I guess the first night, actually, the only night they stayed over there, he was asleep. And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he woke himself up because he was snoring, right? And he woke himself up, and he goes, oh, I got to go back to sleep. And he goes, wait a minute, that wasn't me snoring. It was the guy in the room next to him was snoring so loud, and the walls were so thin. Cardinal Dolan got woke up by the cardinal next to him snoring. Pope Francis is not staying in the most luxurious of places, but nonetheless.
No, that's
so,
right.
So, Sebastian, I enjoy interrupting the story because it's an excellent story.
And actually, I gotta correct something, actually, because he actually wasn't staying there. No, he was. I should say that. He moved there, like, once the conclave actually started, because they were there for a while before the conclave actually started doing meetings and stuff, and that's when he was staying at the Paul the Sixth residence? I can't remember the name of the place. But
it was not, but it was someplace else.
A place in Rome.
Yes.
Because that's where he went eventually after he was elected to pay his bill, that famous picture where you see him standing over the counter paying his own bill.
It's in a place near Piazza Navona, for those who know Rome very well, which are eight people.
So, yeah, he was,
So now Cardinal Donald Wuerl is in
Santa Maria. He walks in.
Yes. Now, he goes into the Pope's apartment, and it's a hotel room.
So, he goes to the reception, and then the receptionist says, yeah, the Holy Father's waiting for you. So, he takes the elevator upstairs. The Pope lives on the second floor. And the elevator opens, and the Pope is standing there waiting to greet him.
I've never even thought about this. Did the Cardinal have to ask which room Pope Francis is in?
I don't know. He didn't tell us that. But probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But somebody had to tell him go to the second floor at least.
Yeah. The receptionist must have said, yeah, just, you know, go into the elevator and push the white button.
I love this.
Yeah. And go up to the second floor. So he gets out. The Pope is standing there to greet him. And before he can say anything, the Pope says, did those people downstairs tell you that I need to move out of here and back into the Apostolic Palace? And the Cardinal said, actually, yes, they did. And he said, pay no attention. They always tell me that. I know exactly what I'm doing.
This is the greatest story I've heard. This is if anybody wants to know what life in the Vatican is like, listen to my friend Sebastian Gomes here in Toronto at Salt and Light Television's headquarters. He hosted, produced, he wrote a documentary called The Francis Effect. You can buy the DVD and 6 hours of bonus footage along the way. Anderson Cooper and Diane Sawyer and Scott Pelley, among many of the others in there. But there's the fact that you got stories like that, not in the documentary, but on my radio show.
That's right. Exclusive.
Makes it all the better. Saltandlighttv.org. That's a tremendous story. Now, here's the thing. We got to take a break, all right? When we return, I want to ask you more about what this Francis effect looks like, what it feels like, what it is on the church, what it is on the world. I also want to talk about me. But it's specifically, as I mentioned right at the beginning of the show, the fact that you and I went to the same little college in Minnesota for undergraduate and then graduate work in theology. And then here I am.
Here we are talking about absolutely no theology.
Thank God. That's how I keep an audience, Sebastian. Let's put it this way. I don't have the ratings I've got based on boring people to death. I would like to tell you about Theodore of Mopsuestia. Was he a heretic or a hero? Which, for the record, was a...
Can we do a poll with that, with the listeners? I want to hear what they have to say.
I'm happy to poll the listeners.
Orthodox or heretic?
Okay, tell you what. I wrote... St. John's University School of Theology is where I went to graduate school. Sebastian Gomes went there as well, which is why it's so ironic. Here are two guys who are in the broadcasting fields of radio and television. And we're just guys with theology degrees.
That's it.
Well, I mean, a little more experience than that at this point. But the fact, and if anybody really wants, that was one of my thesis papers, was on Theodore of Mopsuestia, heretic or hero. 888-3-CATHOLIC, 888-322-8465. Oh, the phone lines are lighting up. So if you want to hear funny, entertaining stories about the Pope, call in. If you want to hear me tell you about Theodore, call in. 888-3-CATHOLIC, 888-322-8465. It is the Catholic Guy Show, coming to you from Toronto, Ontario. CatholicGuy.com is my website, where you find me on the Facebook and the Twitter and the Periscope live streaming video. Sebastian Gomes with me today, my co-host, but a host, a journalist, a correspondent for Salt and Light Television, your Catholic television home in Canada and around the world. SaltandLightTV.org is that website. Quick break. We'll return after this.
Apparently, Canada said they would finally take Justin Bieber back, only if we send Lino home. We'll be right back so we can negotiate. Lino had a little car trouble and almost didn't make it back to the show in time.
Oh, hey there. You having some car troubles, eh? Yeah, looks like you got some water leakage. You might need a hose, eh? But if you like, you can take my snowmobile. That's what Canadian hospitality is all about.
You gotta be kidding me.
yeah, of course it is. It's the Catholic Guy Show in Toronto, Ontario. That's how Canadians talk. Sebastian Gomes is one of them Canadians.
Oh, boy.
Don't you love it?
I can't believe that's your intro.
Sure. Why? What else would we do on coming back from a break?
Obviously, you have no Canadians listening. No, you do.
We got tons of Canadians listening.
Oh, man.
We don't
that's
care.
That's hilarious.
We just do what we think is funny.
Did you ever see that video, Out for a Rip?
No.
Okay. You gotta check that out.
Out for a Rip?
Out for a Rip.
Is it about a
It's a music video that a bunch of guys put together who are like from right around where I grew up.
And where'd you grow up? Ontario?
Rural Ontario, a small town called Perth. And they're from Kingston. Kingston, just down the 401. You can just go straight.
Like
straight
anybody
east.
Knows about the 401.
Straight east from Toronto, about what, 4 or 5 hours?
Oh, sure, just down the 401, eh?
Just down the 401. There you go.
What's this all about?
Anyway,
eh?
This
Who's
song,
nicer
this
than
song's got millions and millions of views on YouTube. So I'm sure that some people in the United States, especially people like in the Midwest, you know, like the more country level folk, the more, you know.
I'm a country folk.
There you go.
Give her a rip, you said.
Out for a rip.
Out for a rip. I don't know what
out
give
for
a
rip means going out for a rip, like on the snowmobile or in, you know, whatever, like in your car, just going out for a drive. If that's, I'm just, that's what made me think about that when I heard your intro. Yeah, that would it would go a long way, maybe.
I love Canada. I mean, obviously, I think America is the greatest country on earth. No offense to America, Canada.
Right.
But but I get the biggest kick out of this country. Last night. So you can always find me, CatholicGuy.com, the Facebook and the Twitter, and Periscope, this live streaming video. Sebastian, are you familiar with this?
I'm not.
Well,
no.
Give her a rip or whatever you said.
Out for a rip?
Out for a rip. What was it?
Out for a rip.
Out for a rip.
And if anybody out there is listening knows this video, someone send it to Lino.
All right, please. CatholicGuy.com. Send me the video, all right? Or I'll just type it up after the show is done. Not a big deal. And I was doing a Periscope live streaming. So it's live streaming video. People can watch me, whatever I am in the world, doing.
Oh, cool.
And then they can write me. They can't talk to me, but they can write me little notes or whatever. So last night, I was just walking aimlessly through Toronto. It's just such a pleasant city.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
in the summer.
Sure, sure.
You're here at the right time.
Yeah, but it's a pleasant city. Yeah. The people couldn't be nicer, eh?
Did you notice that the Pan Am Games are going on?
So here's the thing. no, I didn't. I don't even know what the Pan Am Games are, to be honest. And when I took,
do you guys even participate in them?
So is it Pan Am or and America?
Pan American.
What
games.
Does Pan mean?
Pan, like across, like the North and the Southern Hemispheres. So it's like the Americas. It's like the Olympic Games of the Americas, or completely irrelevant, as some people call it.
Yeah, I didn't. I only because I came here to Toronto, somebody said, Lino, would you like some of the Pan Am athletes? Pathletes, I believe they're called. Would you like one of the pathletes on your show? And I said, well, gee, I don't, what? And I thought it meant, and please don't take this the wrong way, everybody. I thought they were like the para athletes. Not like paralegals, but paraplegic
athletes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
because those games, they come right after usually, right?
Okay.
Like you have the Olympics, and then you have the Paralympics, and then it's same thing with this. You have the Pan American Games. And then you have the Paralympic Games.
Oh, that's cool. See, no, I wanted to do that, and I was inspired. I was like, I would love some inspiring stories of whatever, you know, over obstacles somebody's overachieved in or has achieved in life. I said, absolutely. And they're like, no. I mean, they're running or whatever. And I go, what do I do with them? Do you want an archer on the show? No.
Have you ever watched archery, by the way? How is that a sport?
No, I'll tell you what the sport is. That sport in the Olympics where they ski and then shoot at stuff.
Biathlon.
That's your sport.
Yeah.
Because it's really only good if you're trying to become a James Bond villain. who else is on skis shooting at things? It never applies to anything in life. Not like most things in the Olympics do apply to anything in life. But that one is by far the most. There's no other one where they say, do this. And then do something totally, completely different. Like ping pong, you know how that's a thing? Table tennis?
Yeah.
But they never turn it into beer pong halfway through. And at least that would be a correlation.
Yeah, that would kind of be the equivalent.
But they don't do table tennis and then after each point scored, eat a watermelon.
No,
don't. I don't know, by the way,
why
they
should start that.
So I love Canada. And yes, the Pan Am games are
clearly a big hit.
It's so exciting.
On Sirius Radio.
Sure, Sirius XM. We're going to do a pop-up channel for all your pathlete needs. No, I don't know. But really, I love Canada.
Were you going to go somewhere with that? Like, yeah. You were walking around the city.
I was walking around
just,
live streaming video, and people are writing comments, and there's hundreds of people watching me. I realize on an international radio show, hundreds doesn't sound like a lot, but it's fun. It's just a fun little adventure we have.
Yeah.
And I'm walking through the city, and everybody's nice. And, you know, when I do a live streaming video through New York City, guys are cursing at you. Somebody's urinating on the street. Like, it's not safe for workplace.
I mean, I can take you to those neighborhoods here if you want to go there. But
Well, that's it for today's Catholic Guy show. We're going to have to... We're going to wrap up the broadcast early. Sebastian Gomes and I are going to go buy some smack, and we will see you tomorrow.
Or maybe not.
Well, that's true. Maybe not. Now, of all the things, probably the thing I like the most about Canada, outside of its people, is the one thing that I do know, which is why we're broadcasting today from Salt and Light TV's headquarters. And now I say it's your home for Catholic television in Canada, but people can watch it all around the world.
That's right.
And you produced and hosted... A film called The Francis Effect, all about Pope Francis. And you mentioned earlier in the show that Stephen Colbert, actually, when you had a chance to meet him, came right up to you and was like, hey, Sebastian, I really enjoyed the film and it gave me some hope, right?
Yeah.
What is The Francis Effect? I'll tell you what I think it is, but please, it's not my show. Nobody's interested in what I have to say. What do you say it is?
Yeah.
And start not in the church, start in the real world.
Okay, well, just look at the reality. The reality is that there is a man who nobody in the world knew who he was prior to March 13th, 2013, who now almost everybody knows who he is. And it's just extraordinary how this one man, the leader of the Catholic Church, has changed the narrative of what the Catholic Church is.
What was the narrative? Minds. 4 years ago, what's the narrative?
I think the narrative was generally like out of touch, antiquated, exclusivist, or like a moral taskmaster kind of thing, like an institution that was obsessed with power and authority over people and that kind of thing. And people,
by the way, all descriptions that fit the Catholic Guy show. I'm authoritative. I rule over people. I'm out of touch. I'm irrelevant. I think
you're a true Catholic.
I'm really the Catholic guy.
No, and that's and you know, a lot of people, I mean, you know this, like they're people of our generation. Should
oh,
I say
shut up. You're 30 years old. I'm 43.
Are we the same?
Did you really almost, you tried to pull that card?
I did. You tell me. Are we?
I would be a Gen Xer, they would say.
Okay.
Are you a millennial?
I don't think so. Like, because I love like watching like PTI with like Will Bond and Kornheiser. Do you ever watch that on ESPN?
Sure. Pardon the interruption.
Yeah. Great show. And those old timers are always dissing the millennials and everything. And I actually find sometimes they're talking about the millennials, and I'm like, yeah, good for you. Go, guys. You get them, you know?
Right.
Because like, I don't put myself in the millennial category.
I think millennials are in their teens and 20s right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I think you would be called Gen Y. But I've never heard anybody refer to their demographic based on, pardon the interruption, on ESPN because of Tony Kornheiser.
They just hate the millennials. That's they got it in for them.
I think it's a funny reference point. You go, you know, Lino, it's a good question. I like to see myself as in a particular demographic because of a show that reaches no more than about 200,000 people on the best show they've ever had. It's a fantastic reference point. So our generation, Sebastian.
Our generation.
Thank you.
You know, they look at, like, especially, like, that concept of institutionalization, and they're just turned off from it because they think it means a lack of freedom, a lack of, you know, fun, a lack of joy. Like, it's not a lack of success. It's not associated with all the things that like the world is telling us that we should be trying to attain in this life. And and to be honest, like there are things that have happened in the Catholic Church over the last, you know, whatever, 50 years or so, where you could say like, yeah, like we shot ourselves, the Catholic Church, we shot ourselves in the foot.
And we liked it.
And we did it, and we've kept on doing it in many ways. Like there's things that happen, and you say, oh, you know, crap, what the heck is this? Like this is not going to help anybody like look at us differently. And yet, this man comes along, and people still know about all those foot shootings.
Yeah,
you know they do, but they look at the man, and they still see something very powerful and something very positive in him.
Do you get nervous around him? Now, I'm not speaking personally. And Sebastian Gomes, you've met the Pope several times.
Yep.
And I will get into that later on in the show, okay? I mean, you're a 30-year-old guy who's met the Vicar of Christ several times. That's a pretty cool thing. When I say, do you get nervous around him, what I actually mean is, I think every Catholic, myself included, though I'm the worst Catholic, should get nervous around him. And I'll tell you why. He says things that we're like, yeah, that's right, Pope. We should love the poor. We should care about the... Well, I mean, I'm going to buy a new car. Do you know what I'm saying? Like
RS package? Yeah, I'll take that.
You know, yeah. Over the weekend, I was in Minnesota with my family, and I was in my mom's car, the one I bought her. But I was... but it's true. And I was telling my dad, my mom and dad are both in the car with me, and I said, you know, I hope one day to own a car. I don't own a car. I really want to buy a Mercedes. That's, or a BMW. Either, I'll be happy with either one, okay?
Right.
And it sounded very weird. It sounded weird. Like I felt.
And all because of the Pope?
Yes.
Wow.
By the way, I'm still buying it. If I ever have the means to, no offense, if I ever have the means to buy that nice of a vehicle,
yeah,
I am going to buy that car. I mean, if I live in a city not named New York City and where parking isn't $450 a month,
right.
I'm going to get one. But that's what I mean by Sebastian. Do you ever feel uncomfortable around him because he's saying all the things and you go, yeah, you Catholics better be like that. You got to be more humble and love the poor.
I have two thoughts, and I do sympathize with you. The first, like, he is incredible for this reason, that he is able to simultaneously challenge and affirm. And for someone to be able to do that in a single moment is extraordinary. But like, you don't leave his presence, just like if you watch him on television, you listen to him give a talk, whatever it is, you don't leave without feeling challenged in some way. You say, wow, yeah, I can do something to get my life a little bit more on track, do a little bit better. And at the same time, you say, yeah, but I'm also like really important, you know, and I matter.
Yeah.
And God loves me.
Yeah.
And that's extraordinary. because so many times, especially like a person in an authoritative role like him challenging you to be better, it, like we, I was saying earlier, just turns people, especially of our generation, off completely. It's like, who the heck are you to tell me?
Right. And by the way, thank you for saying our generation again.
There you go.
I'm 43. You're 30. We're the same. We're equals. We're equals in the eyes of the law. We're equals in the eyes of God.
And so there's that. The other thing is, like, I could be like, I could meet him and I could literally be like, well, Holy Father, you know, I feel like guilty because like you're saying all these things and I'm not living my life. And he would look at you honestly and be like, oh, me neither. I'm a sinner. Like I've done all that. He's like, he would be like, you wouldn't believe the stuff that I've done. And like, you know,
I'm going to ask you now, because I've asked this question to lots of different people on this show over the last year or two. And Sebastian Gomes, because you hosted and produced and you wrote a documentary called The Francis Effect. And people can find it at saltandlighttv.org. And it's an excellent documentary. You got all sorts of church leaders, but you've got lots of journalists of Scott Pelley and Anderson Cooper and this kind of thing. I think Pope Francis talks about sin and mercy a lot because he's the biggest sinner we've had in the papacy in a while. Now, I'm not criticizing him by that. What I'm saying is the reason I, on the Catholic Guy Show, talk an awful lot about going to confession is because I sin a lot. Right. I am the biggest sinner on the Catholic channel, bar none. Get away from me, Satan, if you think you're a bigger sinner than I am.
Right.
And so I talk about mercy a lot on the show. Is it too much to say he sins more than Benedict XVI ever did? I'm serious. This is my take.
Without making a judgment, right, on either of them. But,
yeah.
You know, like, it's a good point. You know, there. You got, and I'm sure you've talked about this on the show. If you look at Peter, who Peter was,
Saint Peter, sure,
the Rock, the Vicar of Christ, the first Pope, you know, the person who was the beginning of this line of all these guys dressed in white who lead the Catholic Church.
Hello, I'm dressed in white.
You know, the guy we talked about who was crucified upside down in Saint Peter's Square, our favorite place to be. Look at him and his character and his personality in the Gospels, and he is like the most backwards, confused, misguided person.
Cursing,
denying Jesus, like all these things. Like he's the only person in the Gospel who Jesus calls Satan. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Amazing.
Yes, I'm with you.
I have another great story. Can I tell a great story?
Sure. We got like 2.5 minutes. Is that enough time for the story?
Yeah. Okay. I'll go quick here. Okay. So, during the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s.
By the way, this is not going to be a personal story because you're 30 years old.
That's right. It's not but it's good. Stay with me on this.
I'm with you.
Okay. Joseph Ratzinger, he was a priest at the time. That is the future Pope Benedict XVI, the predecessor of Francis. Joseph Ratzinger was a young priest and an expert theologian at that council. He was advising different people. He and this other person were walking in St. Peter's Basilica, up toward the altar. You've been there 100 times. You know that's a long walk. You know, and at the council, it was all the bleachers where all the bishops were from all over the world were sitting there. So after one of the sessions, he walks up to the altar and looks up. And if you know in the dome there, if you look straight up in St. Peter's Basilica, it says in Latin, "Tu es Petrus," you are Peter, right? Those famous words from the Gospel of Matthew. And Father Ratzinger was looking up at this, and he said, "That's not entirely biblically accurate."
What?
And the person who was with him said, "Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, it really should say, 'Tu es Petrus retro Satana,' get behind me, Satan," in Latin. And it was Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI, saying, "Let's not forget that in the gospel, as much as, you know, Peter is the rock and he is the stone on which the church is built, he's also the person who doesn't really understand what Jesus is about, you know, and he's a coward and he's a snob yeah. and he's all these things, you know, and he's a weak man. He's a man. In other words, he's a human being. He's a regular guy.
Right.
Who stubs his toe
and curses.
And
definitely
falls down.
The Bible says he curses, so we know that part.
There you go. You know, the point is he's a totally ordinary guy. And when you look at Pope Francis, I see Peter.
I like that story. Do you think Francis curses?
Yeah.
I think so too. This is what I mean.
No question.
I don't think he's got a foul mouth on him.
Right.
Now, Sebastian Gomes, you've met the Pope more than I have, which I hate. but I bet, two for two,
by the way. I got Colbert. I got the Pope on you.
Yeah. No, I've met Pope Francis. It's just that you've met him more times. I've met Stephen Colbert. It's just that he walked up to you and was like, hey, Sebastian, I enjoy your work.
Yeah.
And with me, you know, I was the valet, you know, I was like getting his car for him. Yes, Mr. Colbert, I'll be right back with your vehicle. And that's why I said, I want a BMW or a Mercedes one day. I'm kidding. I don't know what he drives. We are here in Toronto, Ontario. What a lovely place to be. We are at the headquarters of Salt and Light Television. Saltandlighttv.org is the website to find out your, even if you're not in Canada, your Catholic television home for Canada and around the world. Sebastian Gomes, my co-host. Today, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Francis. By the way, I said we were going to take calls, and we didn't get to any calls, and there's people on hold, probably furious. So we'll take your calls in a second here. 888-3-CATHOLIC, 888-322-8465, about the Pope. And about all the other many things we've been discussing
and
here.
And Theodore
of Mopsuestia, because Sebastian and I went to graduate school together many years ago in Minnesota. If you want to hear about my thesis there, we're going to get to that and much more next on The Catholic Guy Show.
You're listening to The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.